This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Vernomatic Productions.
Are you ready?
Live from the Metal Mayhem Studios in Rochester, New York.
We are gold.
And heard around the world by metalheads just like you. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Heavy metal music.
Your weekly dose of metal music, interviews, album reviews, news, and more.
Want to be part of the show?
Send us a message through our website, metalmayhemroc.com. Or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Search Metal Mayhem ROC.
A proud member of the Pantheon podcast team.
It's getting nice and heavy.
Now, welcome our hosts, John the Vernomatic Verno, and direct from New Jersey, Metal Walt.
Good evening, everybody. As always, Thursday's new content drops. On tonight's episode, Metal Walt speaks with iconic guitarist and vocalist Scott Wino Weinrich, leader of the band The Obsessed. Wino, a true doom metal pioneer, he's out promoting the band's new album, Gilded Sorrow, and forthcoming U.S. tour. The two really take a deep dive into the history and career of Wino. They go all the way back to the early 70s when Wino had a chance to see Sabbath as a young teen. Talks about how that molded his sound. In addition, he shares tons and tons of career highlights from his days out on the road. If you're not familiar with the band or Wino, this is your chance to do a little heavy metal homework. That's coming up in just a second. Want to remind you, if you haven't joined yet, get up to metalmayhemroc.com. Sign up for our newsletter. That way you could receive updates on everything we have going on here. Thursday nights are the podcasts. Friday night, Southern Cal has his Friday night free-for-all YouTube interview. Monday nights, I have the live radio show on Metal Devastation Radio. And then next thing you know, it's Thursday again and new podcasts. Recent episodes we had last week, we had a rock and roll detention. Metal Mike of 80s Glam Metalcast was here. We did our deep dive into deep cuts, hidden gems, and lost treasures of hair metal. Dave Ellefson of Megadeth fame, Kings of Thrash, and about 10 other projects. He was on before that. And we had the History of Metal 1995, our long-running series. So there's a lot of content here at MMROC. We really appreciate you listening and viewing. Leave us a review. Subscribe to the pod. Let's do this together. So let's get into it. Metal Walt and Scott Wino Weinrich. I'm the Vernomatic, and this is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Good evening, everyone. On this episode, I'm joined by iconic guitarist and vocalist Scott Wino Weinrich. Wino, welcome to Metal Mayhem ROC.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, listen, Wino, last night I was hanging out with my 9-year-old daughter watching the Grammys, and she's a big Swiftie. And I was like, I don't know, honey. I don't know if she's going to win because, like, there's this band called The Obsessed and this Gilded Sorrow album. I'm like, so she's like, oh, really? So I'm sorry, man, that you didn't pull it off. But, you know, that's how it goes, right?
Yeah. I've been, like, noticing a little bit about this whole, like, Taylor Swift, NFL, like a cult thing, man. It's like the world's just crazy.
Wino, I think that's good writing material. It sounds like right up your style. A little conspiracy theory about, what's the latest that she's been matched up with artificial intelligence with Travis Kelce to support Joe Biden to get reelected. That's the latest on the AI.
Yeah. That's it. Tell you what, they're all criminals. It's all theater. Every bit of it. Left, right, it's all fucking theater.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm starting to really believe that.
So, hey, Wino, the press notes talk about you. I want to talk a little about you as a person first. The way they describe you in your press notes is, Wino has always been a rebel, a loner, an outsider in an outsider scene, pursuing his musical taste without regard for popularity and acceptance. So, and they refer to you as the American Lemmy. So, listen, I've been following you for a long time, but who are you? Talk about, like, the person you are.
Okay, the person I am. I'd say that what you just read is a pretty accurate description of how I am. Although although I like to be around people. I mean, I enjoy being around people, like-minded people and stuff. I am kind of a rebel. I tell you why I'm a rebel, because people tend to suck, kind of. And, like, society definitely is, sucks. So, I mean, in my world, the longer the driveway can get, the better. And, as far as politics and stuff goes, I believe in paying taxes. If you see where your tax money goes, right, I believe in the right to bear firearms because against the potential of malfeasance from our own government. And, I believe that, like, I should be able to do with my body with what I choose to use my body. So basically, I guess in a way, I don't know how you describe that. I'm just a normal person. I really treasure a good conversation. A good conversation is something these days. So I really treasure a good conversation. I don't like to read fiction. I just read fact or biographies. Except the only thing I really like is I really like underground comics, man. Like S. Clay Wilson, like, perverted, like Zap type comics, Underground comics from the 60s, And what else? I got three kids, and so I think that I believe people should have the right to say to believe in what they believe in, really,
It's great, great life philosophy to have, man. I think it's awesome. So listen, I'm up in New Jersey. I know you're a Maryland native. I don't know if you're still there. Your career goes back a long time. You started in the late 70s. I mean, so many bands, so many collaborations, so many projects. We couldn't even name them all today. The Obsessed, St. Vitus, Place of Skulls, Spirit Caravan, The Hidden Hand, Shrine Builder. You've done some stuff with Connie Oakes, Probot. Yeah. But you know what? You are, again, that underground guy that when your name comes up, it's always like, oh, man, yeah, Wino, man. He's like, he's that guy that, like, he's developed that trademark doom and stoner sound. So, again, going back to the press notes, they say, oh, no, it was just gritty streetwise American metal with a cynical bent and psychedelic flair. I love that. But, Wino, as a fan of yours, I think that what makes you unique is you have a signature sound in a lot of different ways. It's your guitar tone. Okay, number one, it's the kind of songs you write, number two.
Right.
It's your vocal style, your voice itself, and maybe the most important thing is how you deliver your storyline in your singing. You have a very distinct way of presenting your story. So just talk a little about your signature approach and your sound.
Okay, you nailed it all in the head. And a lot of it, I will say, comes from, like, my early experiences from seeing Black Sabbath. I mean, Black Sabbath definitely was a major, major influence on my life, probably the most major. Although I was into different types of music except when I saw Sabbath. When I saw Sabbath, I was very young, very young. I think it was my 14th birthday, I think. I was born in 60. So I want to say, like, 73, Like, I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, Mass Reality was definitely out. I'm trying to think whether we had Sabbath, whether we had Volume 4 or not. But whatever it was, I saw Sabbath when I was, like on my 14th birthday. So, I mean, just that how Sabbath was back in those days, especially as young as I was, as impressionable as I was, like, there was no doubt in my mind watching that show that they weren't, they're going to have to stop the show. My little brain thought for sure, they're going to have to stop the show because they're going to destroy their instruments. That's how hard they were playing. With so much ferocity and passion, I thought the show would be stopped for sure. There was no doubt in my mind. Of course, it wasn't. So Sabbath was a big influence, and I think that my vocal delivery and phrasing, I think, is pretty Ozzy-ish in a way. I remember Sabbath wasn't my very first concert. My first concert was James Gang. But Joe Walsh just left, but I just remember that record, Straight Shooter. I really dig the way that guy sings, Ray Kenner. And so, like, my phrasing and my storytelling in the songwriting, I think, has a lot to do with traditional phrasing, like Ozzy, traditional American phrasing. I mean, everybody, all over the world tries to emulate or tries to sing in English, whether you're a German band or whether you're an Italian band. Everybody tried to sing in English because English is a much more concise language. So anyways, I'm not trying to meander too much, but I'm just saying that that's accurate. Though when you mentioned that earlier, and as far as my sound goes, I've always been attracted to more visceral sounds, like, you know, something that hits you in the gut, really. So, I mean, it doesn't really have to be, it doesn't have to be low and tuned down to be heavy. That could be part of it. You know, that could be part of it. I mean, the vocals have a lot to do with it too. I'm really into a message, you know, I'm really into a message, conveying messages. I like to tell stories too. I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff these days that needs to comment on. I mean, life and adventure, you know, my adventures is where I get my song material from.
Well, that's good, man. And I want to hear about your latest, the storylines on the new album. But before we get there, so hold on a minute. So you saw Black Sabbath when you were like 13, 14 on the Paranoid or Master Reality tour?
It was my 13th birthday and I was born in 60. So that would have to make it 73. So we'd have to look. I'd have to look back and see. I think that was like right around. The reason I know Master Reality was already out is because we already had those songs in our head. I remember like getting into the songs before I saw that show, and knowing, you know, when they played some of those songs, I knew those songs already. So I want to say Master Reality, maybe in between Master Reality and Volume 4 is what I'm gonna say.
Was that down in the DC area or Baltimore?
No, Baltimore Civic Center.
Wow, man. I'm sure you have. Have you ever talked to the Sabbath guys? I'm sure you have, and said, man, I saw you when you were just starting here, and no, I was a kid.
I've never met any of those guys. And even when I played on Bull Ring Brummies, you know, on the Columbia Tribute, I still never met those guys. I just played the tapes.
That's interesting, because that was a great track, because you played with Bill Ward on that, I believe, right? And Tony, or is it Geezer?
Yeah, that was a great track. Toby Wright was just the producer dude who put that all together. What he did was, you know, Columbia was going to make this tribute record. And so, wouldn't it be great if we could get Sabbath to do it, you know? But there's all kinds of record company flying around, you know, cheese flying around. Okay, but what they did do is they hired Toby Wright. He's like a really famous producer guy. He worked with Slayer, Alice in Chains guy. And he was tasked by Columbia with going over to England and trying to like get these dudes on board, all right? The Sabbath dudes on board. So the first thing he did was he hired the studio harmonic player and a studio guitar player, and those dudes rewrote that version of The Wizard, which is pretty fucking cool, man. It's like slower, you know, to the 12th every time, you know, every time. The reason I know that is because Toby Wright, well, I'll get to that, but So Wright got everybody on board. He talked to everybody. And Geezer would like it so much that Geezer wrote that weird little middle riff in there. There's this heavier riff in there. All right. So now he had all of Sabbath, and he had all of Sabbath actually doing their tracks. They recorded that song as Sabbath. And then Osborne and Iommi's labels started fighting. And pretty soon, both of them had dropped off, both Ozzy and Tony, okay, because there are different record labels at the time. So they called up Henry Rollins and they said, you know, you feel, what do you sing on this record, on this tape? And Rollins said, no, I can't do it. Why don't you ask Wino? By the time they got around to asking me, they already had Halford. So they did, basically when push came to shove, they got me to shoot, they said, this is what we want you to do. All we want you to do is play over Iommi's tracks. They couldn't use his tracks. So I wiped his track. So they wanted me to play it exactly like him, right? Little leads and everything, which is cool because Tony's got this weird little lead style. And so when I was trying to follow that, like note for note in the studio, it's tricky, man. It was tricky. But I mean, I remember like, I thought it was kind of cheesy, you know? But I mean, they asked me to be on this track and I said that I would, and that's what they had me do.
That's awesome, man. I love that album. And you know what? You think about it, too. That was a long time ago. That had to be 20, 25 years ago. That was way before you could share tracks online and, you know, Pro Tools and all this other shit, right? You actually, yeah. I don't know how it was done, but it was done the old school way.
It was done the old school way. And actually, the bass player, you know, Guy was in the Obsessive Time, and he was sitting in the control room. And I brought this ramshackle cab in my head, and they said, well, we got a better cab upstairs. I said, so we went up to get the cab. And he's the only one who heard all the tracks with Sabbath. Like, he heard the Sabbath version they recorded that they couldn't use. He's the only one. He said, I was sitting there, they brought it up track by track. He was like, it was original Sabbath doing that version. But needless to say, like, I really like that version, man. I thought Toby Wright was really cool to work with. And, man, he was standing over me like this, had his hair like in this like tight little bun. He's like, I swear to God, it looked like he's wearing a priest shirt. And like, even it wasn't a priest shirt, but I swear to God it was. So he's like the cyber priest standing above me going, to the 12th every time, like every time. Woo! Slide every time. Woo! Every time. He's like, you know, he's telling me, every time, you know. That was cool.
I think you need to bring the wizard back into your set list, man. Sounds like at the end, you got to do a couple special encores on this tour.
That'd be cool, man. So I'll tell you what, okay, listen to that version of that song, Born Memories Wizard, okay? Listen to the guitar solo, okay? Because I said, well, can I try to do a solo? Toby Wright said, I've already got a solo I really like from the guy in Fight. That's what I'm going to use. But if you can better it, then okay. So he gave me a chance, Toby did, right? So I botched the lead totally. But I knew that I botched the lead, so I kind of just pulled out of it and I was kind of like, fuck it, let it hang for a minute. And Toby goes, wow. He goes, I really like that noise you just made at the end of that lead. Like, and he spliced that weird noise into the middle of the solo. Okay? Now that's like secret shit. But if you listen to that solo, the Fight solo, you can hear this where it kind of goes to a break and then you hear it's like, rah, woo! And that's like my feedback. So that's like, all right, I just thought I'd share that with you.
That's all. I'm gonna when I leave tonight to go take my kid to hockey, I'm gonna make sure that's on the phone in the car.
Backwards masking, you know.
Metal Mayhem ROC.
Metal. I'm Metalhead.
Metal Mayhem ROC is the home for metal from the very beginnings.
This is James DeBear from Hellstar. You're listening to Vernomatic.
Dave Overkill from the Cleveland band Destructor. Hey, Dave, how are you?
I'm doing great.
To longtime headliners.
Hey, this is Red Beach from Whitesnake.
Hey, this is Vinny Appice from Dio, Black Sabbath, and Last in Line.
To music of today.
Hi, this is Olaf Wikstrand from Enforcer.
Hi, this is Brian from Mastodon.
You're listening to Metal Mayhem ROC.
With John the Vernomatic Verno.
Plus, we talk with producers and authors to give you behind-the-scenes info.
Hi, this is William Irwin, author of The Meaning of Metallica, Ride the Lyrics.
Greg Renoff, the author of the book Van Halen Rising, and the Ted Templeman book, A Platinum Producer's Life in Music.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Metal Mayhem ROC, a proud member of the Pantheon podcast team, giving you more to listen for. Join our community, and always remember to keep it heavy.
Hey, Wino, that's some great backstories. Let's get into Gilded Sorrow. But, man, so many cool little quotes. And, like, you're saying it's the heaviest stuff you've ever done. Like in the lyrical sheet, it says, no synthesizers were used on this album. And then your slogan. And this might be the title of this episode when we post this. If it ain't heavy, it ain't shit. So talk about your approach going into this album and talk about the guys in the band. You have a second guitar player now. Yeah. Give us a little back flavor to the start of the writing on this album.
Okay, so it's just always been a three-piece. We've traditionally been a three-piece. And, I started to feel like I was kind of spinning my wheels a little bit. Like, you know, I know that we have power and I know that we have the songwriting depth, but, you know, I was thinking to myself, well, maybe... you know, people have seen this before, seen everything. People have seen this, you know? So right around that time, I got a letter from Jason. Jason Taylor, second guitar player in The Obsessed now. He was in a Canadian band called Sierra, okay? And Sierra did shows supporting The Obsessed. So we got to know each other. I thought he was a great guitar player, you know, good songwriter, you know, good singer. He was front man of that band. He wrote me this letter and said, you know, as far as modern music goes, you know, I see myself, if I could pick the tough style of music that I would want to take my life out with and make it my life's goal, it would be your music. Cause I love the way you write. And I think that we would really be a good team if you ever decided to get a second guitar player. So I thought about it for a while. I said, okay, man, I'm going to give it a shot. You know, we talked it over, me and Brian talked it over. And so basically we gave it a shot. And, you know, we were delayed from, you know, accomplishing what we wanted to accomplish because of the, you know, the chem flu and all that shit. But eventually we got together and he brought what he brought to the table was amazing. He pretty much knew every single song we came into rehearsals being able to just start playing right away. He knew every single song. And he also knows theory. And so, you know, he'll be like, oh, cool. You can tell me what I'm playing. Cause sometimes I don't know, you know. Like, he'd tell me, oh, that's fucking, you know, Hungarian minor, you know, whatever it might be. But he also brought to the table, like, you know, a songwriting capabilities, which is really great. So, I mean, he co-wrote several songs on Deal to Sorrow.
It's awesome. So, yeah, it sounds like a good addition to the band.
Yeah.
Now, like, I'm an old school guy, and I like to put the whole package together in my mind when I'm checking something out. And, like, the cover of the album, right? It's like a statue of, like, a, you know, cement statue or whatever, kind of a woman pointing up, looking up in smoke. There's fog all around it. So what's talk about the album title and the image of the album and how it links to the product.
Okay, well, so Gilded Sorrow, I mean, that is the concept is sort of like, you know, sort of like life, you know, you've got beauty in life, but it's also kind of, there's also an element of cheapness to it too. Like, just with every city, beautiful city, you also have the seedy underbelly, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Sort of like you sort of see the beautiful statue, but the gilt paint is peeling off, you know what I mean? You know, it's sort of like, you know, decay, right? So, but the lyrics to Gilded Sorrow are about, is a story about a mortal in love with a fallen angel, pretty much. It, you know, it's a little bit abstract, but that's sort of where's that at. And, you know, we went down this route of, like, you know, an album cover using, like, a funeral angel and trying to get some dark, you know. We found these statues, like, you know, these crying angels, you know, that you would use for a funeral crypt. And, you know, I just thought that I thought that the whole graveyard thing was too cliche and also too dark. And so my wife said, well, there's a sculpture garden up the way. Maybe we should take a look at this guy. And what that is a sculpture garden by this guy from the 40s named Brunel. This French guy. He was totally obsessed with Native American mythology or just Native American lore. And so he moved up to the Catskills and made these sculptures. And so what the sculpture on the cover is, it's a Native American woman, you know, with her up, you know, holding her breast with her head upstretched towards the sun, towards God, towards the sky. And she's got a papoose on her back, which you can't see. And then we gave that to our guy, our digital collage guy. We definitely wanted like, you know, something that would depict either, like, you know, both the rising sun or the setting sun, you know. And so basically that's what our guy came up with. So we used Bernoulli statue. So it's pretty amazing, actually. We love art, man. It's like art, you know, art is such a big part of everything. It's like, you know, you create or die, you know. And so while we were taking those pictures, Jason says to me, he goes, let's take a picture of me and you just for the record, all right? So we took two pictures of me and him just sitting there. No big deal. So 6 months later, he called me and says, you're not going to fucking believe what I found in one of those pictures. And he goes, look at these pictures. They're side by side. He goes, they're seconds apart. And in one of the pictures, you can clearly see a saucer. No doubt. It's definitely not a plane. It's not a fucking bird. It's a fucking saucer. All right? And so here's the picture. 3 seconds later, it's not in it either. So that was pretty mind-bending that we saw that. And, like, that was pretty interesting. But, you know, they're watching my boy. He's had some experiences before, so he's from another place for sure.
Okay. Good stuff, man. So the title track itself, like I describe it, it's slow and trippy, you know, you get a melodic riff very early. Then it quickly heads into this down-tuned sound. Love the vocal effects, that mid-song shredding, gets a little psychedelic late, bit tribal and a bit jammy. That's the kind of song Gilded Sorrow is. But going up to the top of the album, Daughter of an Echo, her mama was real bad, her father was a demon dad. Yeah. Catchy main riff repeated over the song, backs the lyrics and storyline. It's accessible and memorable. A good track to open. Talk about that one, Wino.
Daughter of an Echo. Daughter of an Echo is like when King Solomon, the myth of King Solomon is like, but he bound these demons and forced them to build his palace, right? Okay, so while he's interviewing the demons to build his palace,
he interviews this one. It's a female entity, and it's seven sisters, right? And they each have their evil purpose, but the seventh, her purpose is just make everything else worse. Like, you know, whatever, what's bad, her purpose is to make everything worse. The seven demons, so that's the daughter of an echo. She's the daughter of an echo, yeah. And then it's partially got inspired, but partially by also by one of my ex-girlfriends who figures prominently in there, like, you know, she's going to pluck your cell phone and off the clip you will roll, you know. So it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek modern, but you take on this demon in Solomon's myth, but also like there's some real life shit in there too.
That's I know, I like that. You pluck your iPhone and you spell it out EYE.
Right.
But hey, listen, track two, it's not okay. I love the line, "Come on, snowflake, time to meet your fate." Like this one, the music is cool because it's kind of like fuzzy and groovy. It almost like you say, it's heavy, but not in like a loud heavy. It almost sounds like vintage ZZ Top or something. But
oh, that's great, man. I love to hear that.
Right. Lots of rage expressed. You're pissed off about something and somebody messing with my songs. Now, I don't know if you're at liberty to talk about what and who this is about, but sounds to me like.
I'd love to talk about it.
Sure. Which,
you know, it's again, it's one of these things where, you know, if you in a non-aggressive way, I mean, if somebody asks me a question, I'm going to answer it. You know, I'm going to answer it truthfully. How you would normally go about talking to your friend or talking to somebody. So, you know, right around 2001, you know, we had all this medical ballyhoo, you know. Okay, so basically, I didn't do anything except state my viewpoints on such, you know. Like, I stated my viewpoints about, you know, what I thought about, you know, current events. I stated my viewpoint on, you know, what people were being forced to do and stuff like this. And what that turned out to be is that I got blamed for like three deaths. And, you know, that's just not okay. It's just not okay. I mean, to insinuate that because of my beliefs that, you know, that's how somebody else was caused their death, you know, I think that's beyond the pale, man. And so, all right. So one dude in particular, this magazine in particular, I guess it's an online magazine. This magazine, Metal Sucks, right? So there's this dude. He's called himself Vince Neilstein 666. Vince Neilstein 666. Okay. All right. Get that right. So he's the main dude. You know, he comes out with a big article, you know, saying how it's directly because of my views and whatever that these people have died. Okay. Now, one of those people is somebody who was very, very close to me, right? So I was pretty pissed off. So I responded to him, you know, listen, you know, you're full of shit. You know, I don't wake up in the morning thinking who I'm going to fucking hurt, rob, or anything like that. You know, the only reason I even state my viewpoints at all is because of my love for humanity. You know what I mean? And so, okay, so this dude, you know, so he comes out again with his second fucking article, like basically... I don't know, man. Basically, doubled down. Okay, so one day, so I was pretty pissed off. I didn't know what I could do. You know, I didn't have enough money to sue him, or I definitely would have sued him because I don't believe it was like frivolous suit lawsuit, but that would be a clear case of fucking, well, this motherfucker needs to get sued. But anyway, so we're driving down the road, and I'm pissed off, and I tell my wife, I said, pull over for a second, and I want to look something up. I want to see where his office is. You know what I mean? Because I wonder how he'd feel if I came walking into his fucking office. You know. And just said, hey, well, here I am. You want to talk to me? What do you want to do? You know? And so we stopped. And we stopped in Woodstock, New York. Okay. That's where we stopped because we live close to Woodstock. So we're in Woodstock. And I'm looking around. I'm fucking pretty good at this kind of research, man. I'm like, their office is in fucking Woodstock. Okay. So instead of just going over there, instead I called my buddy because cooler heads prevail, you know? I called my buddy and I got a little more intel. So I know where I stand with all that.
Okay. Story to be continued, I suppose, right?
To be continued, but it's not okay, man. It's not okay. It's not okay to, like, you know, hide behind your keyboard and do that kind of thing, you know?
I hear you, man.
But that's all.
All right. That's good, man. Love the color behind that one. So now over to Realize a Dream, Life's Many Faces Amazes. Heavy, yeah. With a great variety of your signature guitar work and sound. Love the big chords and the quick solo. I think it's your new single. Talk about that one.
All right. So that's an old song. That's a really, really old song. And that has a really nice piece of serendipitous shit that goes with that, too. But I did want to say, like, Jason was really instrumental. When I brought this song up from the depths and said, here's a skeleton of this tune, you know, what do you think? And he said, right away, he heard something at the beginning. So he arranged the intro. He arranged the intro, and he had a really nice vision for that. And you know, we used those synthesizers. We wanted to say that because on that song in particular, you can hear how the intro, it has this kind of like cool, well, we used the same effect, like to kind of blend all the songs together. You know, like if you listen to the record all, you know, all through, you'll hear like the intro of every song kind of like, there's like an intro part between almost every song that kind of bleeds together, except for Jaylene and where we felt it was good to stop. And we use an effect that Jason has where it's a guitar effect where he takes the sound and he can slow it down and add some really nice chiming choruses, reverb. And so it sounds a little synthy at times, and that's why we wanted to say no synths used, you know? Yeah. But so we use that effect, you know, on this intro, and man, I think it just came out so beautiful. And then, you know, then after I was done singing, I was like, I wanted to go back and just put the opening line into that intro. So, you know, Jason and the band, the rest of the band were instrumental in pulling it together. Now that's an old fucking song. I wrote that song when my buddy, before I was even in the band, my buddy had bought a Farfisa electric piano, Farfisa. It just came out. And with it comes a Leslie, which is a rotating speaker, right? And so the rotating speaker is like this old thing like you've seen in churches where they're playing all the big pipe organs, and all of a sudden you hear this like, woo-hoo-hoo. That's like it's rotating speakers as they keep going. They got two speeds, right? So my thing over the years is I love singing into those things. I love fucking singing into those things. And so we use that for the intro, the very intro vocals. And I use that also for Gilded Sar. That's what I sang through on Gilded Sar. So these rotating speakers. So, you know, we're just some old stuff. And that song was recorded by, before I got a chance to record it, a friend of mine called me and said, hey, can I record that song? That's like 20, 25 years ago, this band Unorthodox, who was also recorded by Frank Marchand. All right, so we get in to record Gill of Sorrow, right? We get into, and we already know we're going to Realize the Dream, but Frank doesn't know that, and we haven't said anything about it yet. Frank says, out of the blue, he goes, man, you guys should cover that Unorthodox song, Realize the Dream. And we were just like, we have a fucking head snap. I said, that's my song. I wrote that song. It was amazing. Just an amazing little bit of synchronicity.
And you could have said to your friend there, it's not okay.
It's not okay. But in that case, it was okay.
It was. Good. That's awesome. Well, I know.
Yeah, man, crazy, crazy shit. It's like there's a story like that behind every song, really, which is kind of weird, man, you know?
Well, let's talk about the next one, Stone Back to the Bomb Age. I mean, it's heavy, it's sludgy, it's dark storyline, and man, you're passionate in that one. You're like, you could tell, like, you're all fired up, and you want to get that message out. What's this one about? What's going on here?
This one about is when I was, you know, younger, and I was just pretty much a stay-at-home dad, I had a lot of downtime, and so I catch myself listening to, you know, PRS, public radio, shit like that, and I used to listen to, like, when we got into the Afghanistan war, I used to listen to Rumsfeld give the war briefings, right? This is when, you know, the Secretary of Defense gets out in front of the press and talks about, yeah, we did, you know, 7 bombing shortage today, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so one day I was listening to those, and it was the Deputy Secretary of Defense, Richard Armitage. This is when Bush is in power. And Armitage says, Pakistan gets involved in this war. We're going to bomb them back to the Stone Age. And I was like, wow, bomb back to Stone Age. I said, that's pretty extreme, right? You know? And so, like, years later, and it just stuck with me, man. So years later, you know, I'm playing guitar by myself, and I'm just really stoned. And I said, oh, wouldn't that be funny if I could take that concept and make it stoned back to the bomb age, you know? Okay, so it ended up being, you know, it ended up being like a comment on you know, on just ugliness, you know, these fucking war pigs and their trip, you know? And so we decided in the studio, we decided, let's see if we can find it. The actual footage of Arbiter saying this, and let's add it into our, let's add it in somehow. Let's grab it, let's add it in. So we said, okay, cool. So we're looking for it. We don't find it. But what we did find, we found another Secretary of Defense from like 50 years before saying that. So Armitage ripped him off.
Wow.
There you go.
Good stuff, Wino.
We're also like getting ready to make a video on that. Let the cat out of the bag. But I can't say too much except it's going to be pretty twisted. And, you know, with any luck, we've got ourselves a pretty cool personality to be the sole actor. So I'll keep you posted on that.
All right. Yeah. Well, on to Wellspring, Dark Sunshine. Big riff. It's a touch bluesy. Great use of the snare and cymbals. And it's just a very traditional Doom Wino track. Love that one, too. And then that one goes into Jaylene. So Jaylene, to me, is like, it's almost like Wino's doing Thin Lizzy or something, right? It's like, I don't know, man. It's just a cool rock and roll track. And it feels like the way you wrote the story is the way Phil Lynette would have delivered the story. And it's like, boy meets girl. Girl screws over the boy. I don't know what they're cooking in the back of their yard there. Is it meth? Is it weed? Is it whatever? And then she flees and takes his money. And then the law steps in. So talk about that one. That one you need a video for, Wino.
Yeah, I know. You're right. Man, I'm glad you like that. Jaylene, the concept of Jaylene came from when I had some difficulties some years ago. And I was incarcerated in another country for a little while. So when I got out, and I'm on the streets of Brooklyn, right? And I was talking on my cell phone. I was talking to my ex-wife for the first time I talked to her since I've been out of jail. And I was wandering in the corner talking to her, and I see on this brownstone on the side of the building, it's just somebody spray painted a black heart. And instead of an arrow going through the heart, it was just a stick. No point, no feathers, just a stick. And it said, Jaylene, okay? Right. So again, so I stored that up because it was so fucking crazy. So I stored that up. Right. So then the song is about, you know, yeah, this dude, you know, he's making his living in an alternative fashion. You know, he's making some drugs. And so he's at a bar and he sees this chick and he, you know, she's so fine. He can't help but tell her, man, you look so fine. You know, so the next night, she's over at his house. Right. Well, it turns out, she's of like mind. And pretty soon, she's dealing for him. He's fronting her shit, and she's selling it for him, right? She rolls over on him. Well, he's out there when they use the master key. So he's out on the run now. So then he sees it broke down on the side of the road and asks her to get in his car, you know, while she's looking at his gun. And you don't really know what happens. Like, that's the whole thing. You don't really know what happened. You don't really know if he kills her, but basically, the way this Jason again came told me for the ending, he goes, man, I think you better temper the ending a little bit. I think it would be better if it was more ambiguous than, like, you know, gloves, rope, and shovel. You know, I think it'd be more. So basically, you know, yeah. So right when he's asking her, you know, why didn't you roll over on me? The cops pull him behind the van. So you don't really know what happens after that. I think that was good. Wise on his part.
Well, I'll tell you what I thought when I just read the title. It spelled out Jaylene. So I'm like, was it Jaylene? And now it's Jaylene? I think you snuck one in there, Wino. I think we know how this ends.
You know, it all goes back to where I got the concept Jaylene from, you know, that really crazy drawing. But, you know, since then, I've seen a country song. There's a country song called Jaylene. I saw it just the other day.
That's not to be confused with Jolene from Dolly Parton, in which Rob Halford now duets on, or somebody, Hailstorm, or somebody, but yeah.
Are you serious? Wow, that's
I know Rob Halford did a track with her on her rock album, but there's somebody else. I think it might have been Hailstorm does a Jaylene cover. So, wow. Jolene cover, not Jaylene. We're confusing them all.
You know what? It doesn't matter, because this is the one, Jaylene.
That's it, man. So the last couple of tracks, Yen Sleep, and then a beautiful little short instrumental. Seems like it's written for your wife, Charlie. Yeah. Lucky Free, Nice Machine. So Yen Sleep, atmospheric with that soft yet fuzzy guitar tone, very mid-paced, lots of killer signature riffs and shredding, heavy overall. So talk about the last couple of tracks to close.
Okay. Yen Sleep, you know, that was something that was released on Incarnate, you know, but on Blue Zero. But, you know, when we get ready to record this record, I knew I was going to re-record that song because that's one of my favorite songs I've ever written, and I never thought it was really done justice. So I wanted to re-record it right. So I told Jad, I said, you got to put something in your contract, giving me permission to record this song over again. So he did. So I wanted to record that song right. I think we did. I think we got pretty accurate. And what that song is about is why the reality isn't dreaming as opposed to reality being waking, you know? Like, the dream world becomes reality. Yeah. So that's that concept. And then Lucky Free Nice Machine, yeah. When I met Shirley, she came down to this gig, and she was pretty fucking loaded. and she was definitely attacking me, you know? Right? So...
Well, who wouldn't be? Who wouldn't be? Well, let's be honest, right?
So I didn't get in front of her, you know? So I tried really hard, and I finally tracked her down. So when I finally got her on the phone, I had my guitar, and I was nervous, you know? So I'm talking to her on the phone, and I think I had my phone cradled because I was playing my guitar kind of nervously while I was talking to her. And I wrote that riff. I came up with that riff. And I thought that was like, the Lucky Free Nice Machine is like, it was sort of like how I see her, you know?
It's cool, man. It's like your own version of a love story. And I see that you guys talking about your wife, like you guys got a lot going on. I mean, great stuff on your website, jewelry and posters and art and t-shirts and all kinds of good stuff. So like, what's going on there? It's like, you kind of do a lot of inspirational work around what comes into your mind, complement your music with art, right?
Yeah, that's right. You know, and during the lockdown and all, you know, everybody's at home. But we had a good opportunity to sit down and, create some stuff. And I started to focus a little bit more on the drawings and stuff. And so we put our little business together. And I feel fortunate. I'm really fortunate. You know, I have my musical background, you know, and our following there to draw from. So that's really cool. And create or die, man. That's our thing.
Now, do you do the drawing or does she do them both? Or do you guys do them both? Or she do the jewelry? Like, who you guys doing all that stuff together?
We do some stuff together. We do some from apart. She's got some art stuff, drawings, and she paints, and so do I. And then we also make stuff together. And then lately we've been taking a silversmithing course. So we're going to start making our own jewelry and stuff, making our own pendants and stuff like that. What I usually do is, like, you know, I travel around and source out, you know, some cool shit. Like, I'll find like a really cool, like, antique pendant or something. And then I'll source out some beads or just try to make cool, you know, one of a kind pieces, you know, do that. And we've been getting some silk screening. Yeah. You know, I mean, basically all we want to do is really create art. I mean, that's what life's about for us, you know?
Absolutely. So now talk about this bad boy.
Yeah.
I just got this in the mail. I have to say it took me a while to order it, but I finally got to it. And I said, if I'm going to be speaking on wino, I got to have this in my possession. And it was perfect because it showed up in the mail today. So how's that been going for you?
Yeah, it's going really good. I mean, I think that it's a pretty accurate snapshot of my career. You know, it was fortunate. We got a chance to combine like a road trip or two that I was taking. And interview people along the way. So we've got a lot of cool personalities in there. All my friends, man. And I think it's really cool. I think Shirley did a really good job on it. And it's been getting a lot of European attention. Like we just got back from Italy, me and her, because the Italians wanted to run 9 shows where we did Screen the Dock, and then I played acoustic. So we did that. That was a lot of fun. It's already screened in France and in Greece. So, yeah, man.
All right. Yeah, well, I can't wait to sink my teeth into that DVD. So, Wino, talk about the tour. You got a tour kicking off mid-March. I know it's going to come my way, and I think Brooklyn's the last stop, but what are you doing on the road, and who are you taking out with you?
We're going out for a month. We're taking out with this Howling Giant, North Carolina, and a band called Gozu. And basically, we're just trying to like create, you know, do a nice little tour of the East Coast. I mean, yeah, starts the 13th. It starts in Philly, March 13th in Philadelphia, and then our last show is Brooklyn. Yep.
All right. Well, I'll make sure I come down here and shake your hand, and we'll have a good chat.
Fantastic, man. Yeah.
But I gotta say, like, I've been to a good sampling of seeing you through the live through the years in the New York area. You know, Spear Caravan at Hard Rock Cafe, Shrine Builder at NYU. A couple shows
with Wolves in the Throne Room. But that was a great show.
Yes, that was a weird place. It was a strange being place. In this college to see a show, right? This big old room.
Yeah.
But a couple of the St. Vitus bar gigs, which is the best place there.
Cool.
But my biggest experience seeing you is I did a road trip. Well, I wouldn't say a road trip, a plane and boat trip. I flew over by myself to Sweden Rock in 2012, and there was a great lineup. But you guys, St. Vitus was on the bill, and I think on the same day, Pentagram played and Motorhead played. And I just remember seeing you guys on this beautiful, whatever it was, Thursday or Friday afternoon, sunny out, 4 o'clock. And just, I just was pulling pictures out recently and just so fucking awesome. Such a gig. I don't know if you remember those gigs, but
I don't, did we meet that day?
No, we did not. I hung out with Bobby Liebling in the airport. He's a character in himself, but you and I hadn't met.
Yeah, running into Bobby at the airport. Man, I run into Bobby at the airport sometimes too. That's always weird. I remember that show. I do remember that show. Yeah, very cool.
Well, I remember Dave Chandler was, well, maybe I shouldn't say it, but he was whacked out of his mind roaming those grounds afterwards. I was like, well, is this guy on this planet? But I remember him sitting on the side during Motorhead, and I was like, maybe I should get the EMTs. I don't know what. He's like staring at the sky. I don't know what he was tripping on, but he got through his gig.
There you go. Well, it's David.
So, Wino, talk about, I mean, so many bands, so many decades of music. But, you know, before we wrap this up, is there any, like, one, like, fuck yeah moment where you look back and you say, this is going on my tombstone? Like, album, tour, band, period, shows. There's got to be something out there that you're like, yeah, fuck yeah.
Well, you know, when I played Dynamo in 93, that's probably the biggest show of my career, probably to this day. It was like 90,000. And on that same day was, on our stage was Zakk Wylde, Project Formity, Caius, original Caius. And so I think, that show, playing in front of that many people. And I remember, like, I was having this magical feeling where I could sort of see, it seemed to me that, like, I could see certain people or pockets of people were kind of glowing in a way because just of the energy, being of my music, you know? And so that was one really memorable moment right there, 93 at Dynamo. And the other one would have to be very recently when we played Hellfest. I mean, the last time we just played Hellfest, you know, last summer, that was unbelievable. I mean, it was really hot. I mean, there's probably like 40,000 people in our little segment there. But I mean, you know, the drones were coming, the chemtrails, everything I hate, you know, like, yeah, everything I love and everything I hate. You know what I mean? So it's like fucking, it was crazy. But me, when we were playing, there's a couple of festivals this summer where we were playing, they were magical as fuck. One of them, I think when we were playing Freak Valley, me and Jason, I looked up and playing some dual leaves, and I look at the sky and I saw these two fucking birds. Like two birds. First I saw the one, then I saw the other one. It was like a dark bird and kind of a lighter colored bird. And like nobody saw except me and Jason. That was really magical. Like we're doing our dual guitar thing, we both see these birds. Like, you know, one is like kind of like, you know, gray head, you know, the other one's kind of dark. It's kind of freaked out, man. So, you know, that kind of thing, man, those kind of feelings, yeah. I mean, I've had a lot of successes over the years, you know, and I'm really grateful for that. I mean, there's been disappointments, but you don't really focus on disappointments, man, you know, because the good jobs are so important, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I can see that, man. I think you probably didn't like drones watching you, but I bet if you had your brothers and you could get a drone to watch somebody else. Sorry, my dogs are going crazy in the background. You would love to get that drone up there and watch somebody else, but not on you, man.
Baby. I remember, maybe.
So I know the new album comes out on February 16th on Ripple Music. Tell us your socials and where we can find all the information about yourself and The Obsessed.
Okay, well, you can go to the Facebook, our Facebook page, which is The Obsessed Official. My Instagram page, which is Scott Wyden Weinrich, Instagram. You can see some of our dates, and you can also see our art at wino-art.com. And about it.
Okay.
All those have links, and they're all linked together. So if you go to my Instagram site, you can go to my link tree, and it'll take you to every place.
Great. Well, listen, Gilded Sorrow, killer album. Best of luck. Amazing stories about your back history, the past and the present, and the current product. It's been a pleasure speaking to you, Wino, and I wish you best of luck. And I will see you in Brooklyn in April, okay?
Wait, come up, say hey for sure. Say hey to Shirley. Welcome. We'll talk.
Absolutely. Wino, thanks, man.
Thank you, brother.
Keep it heavy, brother.
Bye.
Metal for Life.
Thank you for listening to Metal Mayhem ROC. Check out our website at metalmayhemroc.com for information on podcasts, archives, links to all our live radio shows, and all sorts of info. Please like, follow, and share with everyone, even your non-metal friends. And always remember to keep it heavy.